ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति 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 तपोदम्बेन चैव यत् तपोदम्बेन चैव यत् क्रियते तदिह प्रोक्तम् क्रियते तदिह प्रोक्तम् राजसं चलमध्रुवम् राजसं चलमध्रुवम् सत्कारमानपूजार्थम् तपोदम्बेन चैव यत् क्रियते तदिह प्रोक्तम् राजसं चलमध्रुवम् In 17, as we saw last, he says, the threefold austerity practiced by devout men with utmost shraddha, faith and desiring no food is declared sattvika. So, we have so far covered sattvic, rajasic, tamasic worship, sattvic, rajasic, tamasic food, sattvic, rajasic, tamasic yajna, and sattvic, rajasic, tamasic tapas we are studying now. In this sattvic tapas, he divided that into three aspects, which is kayika, vachika and manasa, the threefold austerity. The sattvic austerity, he says, is threefold, which is to be done at the level of the body, at the level of the speech, and at the level of the mind. So in verse number 14, he talked about sattvic austerity done at the level of the body. There he said the worship of devas, and then twice born, the gurus and the wise, and maintaining purity, uprightness, celibacy, non-injury, all these things would come under the sattvic austerity at the body level. And then at the mind, at the speech level, he says the austerity would be anudvega karam vakyam, the speech without excitement, meaning not impulsive, only well thought about, discriminated speech, which is truthful. It should be soaked in the truth, and it should be spoken as much as possible in a pleasant way, but not to please the other. Please remember, when he says pleasant, you should understand that it is not to please the other. And then it should be beneficial to both to whom you speak to and to yourself. And therefore, these are all to be practiced. It is not easy. You see, mind generally wants to get into the things that gives it excitement. So, to control the tendency to gossip and direct yourself to speak the proper things, it's not easy, it's a tapas, it's an effort, and that has to be done at the level of the speech. And then he says also the practice of sacred study, swadhyaya, daily study. Also swadhyaya means daily chanting of the Vedas. All this helps. See, they say there are certain words when we speak, you know, especially the language Sanskrit, they say when you speak it has a lot of tongue-twisting words, which exercises certain nerves and certain neurons in your brain. So it helps, you understand, in developing the higher part of the brain. Now, I have read it somewhere. Now, how far it is true, I don't know, but I have read it somewhere. So the words, when you speak, the neurons are there, activated, the thoughts associated, hence the neurons are connected, and the nerve system, you know, so it helps. Therefore he says also the practice of sacred study are called austerity of speech. And then he talks about austerity at the level of mind. maintaining calmness, sereneness, poise, gentle, being gentle, forgiving, and above all he says silence, maunam. Because when you practice maunam, it gives you the ability to observe your own thoughts. I did mention to you in this context that one fellow wrote a letter to Swamiji saying, I was a very happy man until I met you. Because what happens is once you come to Vedanta, like you were talking about your son attending that program, there also they ask you to maintain silence. Then it gives you an opportunity to look within. And when you look within, you suddenly realize that so much kachada inside you, dirt inside you, and there's a lot of work to be done. You give yourself an opportunity to cleanse. So silence, and then self-restraint. Mind, when it slips into the unwanted stuff, control it and bring it back. Give a purpose, a goal, a higher purpose to the mind, and whenever it slips, bring it back. When it slips, bring it back. All this would come under austerity of mind. And therefore in 17 he says the threefold austerity, which he mentioned as at the body level, at the speech level, and at the mind level, practiced by devout men with devotion. With devotion, when you practice absolute Shraddha and desiring no fruit, there is no selfishness. You are not expecting any results out of it. You are just doing it because it has to be done. Such austerity would be classified as suffering. Now, in verse number 18, he is talking about Rajasic austerity.
Satkaramana pujartam, tapodhambena chaivaya, kriyate tadihaprotam, rajasamchalamadhruvam, satkaramana pujartam, tapodhambena chaivaya, kriyate tadihaprotam, rajasamchalamadhruvam.
The austerity practiced with the object of gaining reverence. Austerity means effort. Willfully controlling yourselves from indulging at the body level, at the mind level, at the speech level. But the objective in the case of Rajasic austerity is, one objective is to gain reverence. People should say, oh wow, what a great tapasvi. How much he controls. Yeah? In that sense. You are not following certain austerity to be healthy because it's good for you and it's good for everybody. You're doing it so that everybody can appreciate you. Wow, how well he maintains his body. Like that. The reverence or honor. That you will get the name, the fame, popularity. And worship here and also with ostentation is said to be Rajasika. There's so much of shobhaji. No? That's what he's saying.
Then you're doing it to please others also? That's why?
Yeah, it's saying pleasing others comes under Rajas.
So you're having a good body or you're controlling your emotions at a certain thing is
all to
please others also.
The moment you slip out of the higher purpose and you get into this worldly thoughts, it becomes Rajas.
It becomes okay.
So with ostentation, if you do it becomes hypocritical, you know?
That is
Rajas. A lot of people do this.
Yeah.
You know? In fact, today the in thing is, you are not accepted in a crowd, or you are accepted but you will be constantly, you would probably have to constantly face, peer pressure. So you want to become like that, so that you could wear those clothes, otherwise they will criticize you. You know, then what happens is, you are putting an effort for that. It's basically what? Rajasic. That's what you're asking.
Yeah.
You know, those kind of things. The attention is outward. See, in Sattvic, the attention is inward. The attention is growth.
Portraying a thing of being inward, but it's actually outward.
Yeah, this one is inward. But for what? You know? So, in Sattvic, the attention is to grow towards the higher. In Rajasic, the attention is purely worldly. And that's what he says, reverence. They take sacred vows, you know, fast and all that. Because you get some personal renown, respect. People look up to you with reputation. Oh, he can go on fast for like, you know, so many days, my God. Sages generally they just eat one day, one meal a day. In fact, in Tamil they say, Moonru Vele Sapudu Bhavan Rogi. Rogi means this fellow who has disease. One who eats three times.
Oh.
Right. Irrentivere Sapudu Bhavan Bogi. If you eat twice in a day, you're called as a bogi. If you eat one meal a day, you're called as a yogi. Uruvela Sapudu Yogi. So in other words, as you grow spiritually, slowly, slowly, your consumptions reduce, your contributions increase. At all levels. And that consumptions would also be sattvic, and also it would be for the purpose of growth, and that also for you to give your energy back to the society. So, you know, when I...
That means all these jainis who fast for say 40 days or things of that sort, at that point of time in their life, are they more distinct to spirituality, more open?
That is the attention, that's correct. That is true. But if you mechanically do it, then it's not correct.
Huh.
See, about 2 years ago, I had gone to Ramana Maharishi's ashram in Thirunambai. A very simple place. And there, everybody has to sit down and eat. If you can't sit down, for whatever reasons you are not able to, then they, of course they provide a table. And during the time, lot of sannyasis around that ashram, they come to the ashram and each one is given one meal a day, and they eat only one meal a day. And that also, they take as much as they can take in their palms. Exactly around 1 o'clock, the food is distributed. So, you can donate for it, you know. 1 day ke liye, 10 days ke liye, 1 month ke liye, whatever. But exactly 11 o'clock, the food is distributed, they take that much only, that's it. Because they just want to take it and survive, so that they can use that energy for growing towards the higher.
So that's what is necessary for survival.
Yeah. So, but attention is for that. But if your attention is on the word, honor, like he says, you know, recognition. Everything gets advertised. You know? Satisfaction. You're getting some subtle mental satisfaction. That is actually what you are actually suffering from a weakness. You want adoration from the world. You are suffering from a weakness. When you know it is the right thing to be done, you do it. Whether anybody notices, doesn't notice, doesn't matter. But you want to do it so that everybody would notice it, then it is success. And that's what he is saying here.
They are
doing it for honor. Huh?
Part of the peer pressure kind of a thing, you are doing it because you want to also conform to a certain...
Yeah, when the result is assured, some appreciation is coming through, you're getting some reputation, then you put in the effort.
All outward.
All outward, exactly. And they may seek worship also. In the sense, you see what happens in the world today. We consider a person who denies the most as a great spiritual person.
Huh?
He should not have chappal, no sophistication, should go by pedal, walk. you know, such people would be considered as great Mahatmas. Oh, this Mahatma is coming by car, when he needs evil Nandi Mahatma. See, we give a lot of importance to the outward things. You understand? So he is saying, for the sake of worship from the public, from the people, for that kind of a thing, he tortures himself or herself. That's what he is saying here. The austerity practiced with the object of gaining reverence, honor and worship. You want to gain worship from others. You want to show yourself as simple. You understand? So that simplicity, see, no doubt, as you grow spiritually, you will become very simple in your living and you will have high thoughts. But that simplicity loses its value when it is done for this kind of a thing.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying. Soliciting personal devotees, you see. Because in a way, who is controlling you then? They are controlling you. Because they are with you not for what state you have reached, not for what you are. They are with you for the clothes you are wearing, for the appearance that you are showing. So what happens is, you can't be yourself. The moment you change your clothes, they leave you and go. So the fear that they leave you and go, you continue holding on to it. This kind of a thing, which is what he calls as hypocritical, dhamma, ostentation. It's frustrating, you know. It's absolutely frustrating. There's a movie, English movie, one of my class members only asked me to see it long ago. About 15 years ago or so, or maybe more than that. I think it's called Guru, or The Guru or what. It's not the Hindi Guru. It's a little, it's an English version. And it has little adult content in it. It's a very interesting movie. He told me that. And then he said, but you should watch it, sir. It's a very interesting movie. So I watched it actually. In that movie, a fellow from Punjab goes to, I think, UK or US. US.
Canada.
Huh?
I've seen that, I think.
So he goes to there and to find a job. Right? He tries to find a job. Stays with his friends and he goes with them to somebody's house because they're having a party. So their restaurant is serving there, okay, so he goes to help there. And there the Swami would come there. They have invited a Swami and everybody has come there to meet the Swami. But the Swami is a fake fellow. He's completely drunk and he's gone. Right? So they don't know what to do. So then they make this fellow the Swami. And he becomes a Swami. And then he becomes extremely popular. Extremely popular and everybody is coming to him, the who's who. And you know, but he is inside going through so much frustration. So much frustration. And finally the movie ends and he leaves everything and says, I have no Swami, nothing. And he goes away. Amongst them, there is one person who is genuinely spiritual. He says, this person is the Swami. He says, all of you follow her, and he goes away. It's a very interesting movie. You know? So, that's what I reminded of. No, hypocritical.
It's like that movie in Hindi, Guide, little bit.
Guide.
That Vivekananda proclaimed to be the Swami.
I haven't watched the movie, so I don't know that.
Okay.
But I've heard about it. It's a very old movie.
Very old.
Yeah.
No, that is the other way around.
No, he is not a Swami, but
no, he is not a Swami, but people, they make him a Swami, and then he turns. He becomes a better person and a Swami-like person, they show.
He becomes
because when he realizes the responsibilities and all, then he came as a fake, but then he becomes
a genuine person.
That was the
thing. And
okay.
At the end, when it's
really... But here also actually, he
turns into a better person.
But he leaves.
Yeah.
There he may have ended up becoming a sage, yes. I don't know. But here he doesn't end up becoming a sage. But in a way, he says, Arey Baba, this is rubbish.
He leaves everything.
All the name, fame, everything he leaves. See, it is so shallow. Inside he is so frustrated.
But
he's not really
interested. That is also a big thing.
That's what I'm saying. And he really becomes popular. Very immediate. And who is there? And then he says, chalo, leave me alone. Leaves everything.
But he had a conscience, so that's why he doesn't feel good about it.
Yeah, and if you going on putting on a show, it's going to frustrate you. You know, that sort of a lifestyle, it's extremely rajasic. Upper it goes very nice. See, it's like you have built a house. The foundation is weak. But the outside architecture, interiors are so nice. You know, it's like that. So that's what he's saying. The austerity practice with the object of gaining reverence, honor and worship here, and also with ostentation is said to be rajasic. Unstable and transitory. It won't be lasting, this kind of a thing. That's what they're saying. How long can you go on doing like this, you know? It's going to be frustrating and it's unstable, it won't last long. You can't hold on to that like that for long. So you can only hold on to truth for long. That's why they say, shortcut is actually the longest route. Short. If you start saying untruth, lies, you take shortcuts. You can. Go on saying lies here, there, everywhere. Now there will come a time where you don't know whom you said what. You have to remember everything. It is the most difficult thing. Right? But if you have been living a life of speaking the truth, not lying, being simple, then you don't have to remember anything. Just be normal. Straightforward. You understand? So actually, the difficulty is this kind of a tapas. And it will go away. You can't hold on for long. You will be exposed sooner or later. That's what it is. Sooner or later you will be exposed. Such austerity can never be firm, lasting. Being unstable, it would perish ere long. That is what is rajasic austerity. Firstly, majority don't put in any effort, no purpose. And out of the minority that they put in effort, that is also either rajasic or tamasic. Sattvic tapas, not many would give in to. And even if you give in to, you will not try to maintain it consistently for long. That's the problem. So he clearly explains here what is sattvic and rajasic tapas, austerity. Now, tamasic. Mudagrahe nātmanoya, mudagrahe nātmanoya, pīdaya kriyate tapaha, pīdaya kriyate tapaha, parasyotsādhanārtam vā, parasyotsādhanārtam vā, tattāma-samudhāsatam, tattāma-samudhāsatam, mudagrahe nātmanoya, पीड़या क्रियते तपः परस्योत्साहनार्थं वा तत्तामसमुदाहृतम्. The austerity practiced with foolish notion, torturing oneself or aiming to destroy another is declared tamasic. Mechanically when you perform activity, without understanding its real meaning, significance, or you have not done any intellectual thinking over it, there has been no exercise of intellect over the practice, just mechanically, passively. Others did it, you also do, foolishly. You know? So that's sort of a foolish notion, where you are not exercising your thinking senselessly, you do it. And mostly they are superstitious beliefs. They go through that, you know. If I go through this kind of a penance, standing on one leg for a few days, everything will be sorted out. What is the connection between this and that?
So, Swamiji, I have a question. Personally, I can't do it. I try for it. But my friends, they give up, somebody will give up sweets or potatoes for 1 year that my child will get the admission. This doesn't work, na, like that.
Giving up potato cell will get admission?
Give up meat, huh? We are going to dinner even meat chhoda
all selfish
for 2 months or 3 months. Maine meat nahi khana.
Dekho, what may happen is, these kind of a thing would be reminding them constantly of the purpose that you wanted to get. Like some people tie, you know, the
knot.
And they tie a knot in the sari or something.
Yeah, right.
Knot is constantly reminding them. So like that, you know, if you take a vow, that
then there's this thing they should give up something every year. Like
to
one
receive.
And then they can move. But like 1 year they'll give up rice, 1 year they'll give up. Basically just to get some self-control.
But
this is for a reason that I want this, so I'm giving up this. So
after that,
I want admission for my son
in school.
How can I'm giving up potatoes over here?
So does this?
How is giving up potato get an admission in the school? The school is going to keep a test or something for the sign.
And also Guruji, I find this very like, if I get this, then Bhagwan ko itna chadhayenge.
It's like
bribing God.
It's very conditional.
He doesn't need to be bribed, you know.
It's very conditional.
These are all the, you know, mind.
If they say the same thing with a clear heart and a clear mind, it might happen.
So at
no, but this I think it's a matter of habit. Like even people like my mother-in-law, not like कुछ ऐसा हो जाए, कुछ ठीक हो जाए, तो मैं ये करूँगी. So that is, I don't think it's really, but you know, like other than हो गया नहीं.
In Vedanta we don't preach that, but what we say is a very very beginning level of bhakti.
Yeah.
Each bhakti is what? Self-effacement. Bhakti is like light. When the light is switched on, darkness completely goes. Right. So when you are absolutely not at all aware of that hand of divinity and you don't recognize it, you are not ready to admit it, then you are in complete darkness. That means your ego is maximum. So here in this case of such people, you have said that they do acknowledge something beyond them. That acknowledgement, to that extent they have. So you don't discourage it, you don't condemn it, but you tell them to move from that to different level of bhakti. So that is why in Vedas they don't discourage that. You understand? At the same time they tell you this is a very very beginning level of bhakti. Doing a certain action, surrendering to God, expecting a fruit. But at least the fruit you give it to God. So Bhagavan, I will do, you please give me the fruit.
Yeah.
No. So in the sense that's okay, but that's the very beginning level of bhakti. Why? The reason I explained to you, at least some extent they are acknowledging something beyond their ego. You know.
Yeah.
Therefore there is a little trace of bhakti in them. So now you need to start fanning to make the bhakti glow more and more. So the ego becomes completely annihilated. That's the idea.
So you yourself cannot do anything for your son's admission in terms of giving up something or prayers or this.
Well, I told you, these kind of vows when you take, it kind of gives you certain firmness in your mind that this purpose is there, I need to really dedicate myself for it. It could be anything. But what is the connection between potato and school admission? If they are living like that, I mean, it's madness.
Okay.
You understand? But like I said, if something that they love the most and you give it up consciously, it's like a knot, it helps, that example of the knot, you know. So they are not mentally they put a knot. Till I achieve this, I'm not going to do this. So then what happens is constantly reminding them, then at the body level, at whatever level, whatever they have to do to make their son study, prepare, whatever they have to do, from their side, they are sacrificing, they are determined, that pushes them to do. That way okay. But just given a potato and then you are watching TV, the son is eating potato chips because you have given a potato.
Yes.
And that fellow will give
this is what I'm asking.
No,
yes. He's not going to
I also did something, my son, long back, like 25, 30, he had some problem, he was in London and he had some water in the stomach and the doctor said maybe he has cancer and all that. So we went to Bombay and at night there were strawberries and all, and I'm very, very, very fond, crazy about strawberries I was. So I was like, hey, what is this? You know, what is life making strawberries and this, that? I won't eat strawberries ever in life. But I just said to myself, I won't eat. Whether he becomes okay or not or whatever, I'll just give it up. So he was okay. There was nothing in it. But I haven't eaten strawberries since then. But it reminds me that, see, how much in a bubble we are living. You know, in 1 second your world can be changed and we just take everything for granted. So every time I see strawberries, I am reminded of that. It's just that. So that way I am just saying it can help in that way.
Yeah, but what happens is, and if you, there is, that's why whenever you are in love, the one of the measuring scale for love is, for the sake of the object of your love, you would be ready to give up anything.
Or give anything.
So when you are in love with your son, right, not even the most loved object, strawberry or whatever it may be, you say, no, I'll give it up. Because for that sake, in fact, ultimately, that is what Vedanta asks, you know, for the sake of yourself, you will be ready to give up anything. Right? Therefore, that self is the highest. And that self is what you are trying to protect from everything, isn't it? So in that sense is what Rita ji said. But just giving up strawberry did not make him anything like that, become better or anything like that. So if as long as the understanding is there, then it's different. But here it's talking about foolish notion. As if this is going to solve that.
This is going to make that happen.
Exactly.
And also no connection. If thing that if my son gets well, then I'll do this. Otherwise, you, nothing for you.
Yeah,
I don't like that concept.
Even, yeah. If.
If that if thing.
Mm-hmm. If you're so sattvic, then you'll do it like that.
I mean, do a good action and thinking ki but if my son gets better, then I will do that, otherwise I will just do. You know, this is the generally like my mother-in-law and all, whenever ye prasad chadhayenge, agar ye ho jayega to. So agar nahi hoga, so the prasad is forgotten.
Yeah, the flip side is a bit tough. But anyway, if you are giving up potatoes for 1 year, chalo, you are developing a discipline at least inside yourself.
That is what I'm saying. As long as you think intellectually and do, it's different. But a lot of people do these things.
It's a bargain. It's a bargain.
There is no thinking, there is no knowledge, there is no intellect, there is no any devotion there. It's absolutely mechanical and without thinking. So therefore it says austerity practice with foolish notion, torturing oneself. You go on inflicting pain to yourself. There are people who do that, you know. They inflict pain to themselves. Which Swamiji calls as weird practices. Hanging upside down, putting things into you. All sorts of things they do. All these kind of weird practices come under tamas. You see the book, he says, lying on iron spikes. And such torturous practices. See that aspect that when you love something, you are ready to sacrifice. Love and sacrifice, they go together. You understand? You automatically sacrifice. But that sacrifice would be more enjoyable, not frustrating. Supposing you take a vow that till he becomes alright, maybe 1 week, 10 days, 20 days, whatever it is, I am not going to eat mango. Let's say just an argument sake. And that mango season time. And you really love mango. And he's not getting all right. And you're getting frustrated. And what the hell is it? But if it's true love, then you will be happily sacrificed. You won't torture you. But here he's using the word torture. They're torturing themselves.
But Swamiji, here it's saying the austerity practice is foolish notion. Torturing oneself. So, apne upar bhi.
That's what. They sit on nails. Walk on nails.
That's tamasik.
All this kind of a thing. Torturing themselves.
So if you are giving up something, you should think intellectually and then take the step. If you want to give up something as a discipline, you should first think intellectually that I am doing it to discipline myself.
For what purpose? Why am I doing?
And then take
how this is going to help me? I mean, there is absolutely no thinking. Simply you unconnected stuff. Where is the knowledge? Where is the light there? There is no light. There is no knowledge. So it is basically they destroy themselves also and they destroy others. And they'll do all these kind of things to destroy others.
This tantric thing and all that.
I was also thinking of
this. Heard that? Kali Mandir, this tantric.
So the last year, I was also thinking it is like the last line.
You can't. And that is who destroys?
There are people who say, you know, I cut the finger, sacrifice the blood and they should be destroying them. All these kind of negative practices which they have, you know. All these kind of negative practices is saying they are tamasic. Because there is no scripture backing it. There is no thinking backing it. There is no reference. I mean, it's unbelievable how people get into it. Mechanically they do this. They show these kind of things in movies also, you know.
Yeah.
They're torturing themselves, then suddenly the God takes pity on him and then there is. That sort of a belief.
It is.
It is madness.
But it is a belief. It's widely believed.
So that's what he's saying. The austerity practice with foolish notion. Mudagrahena atmana. Mudagrahena. Means absolutely out of foolish notion. Two unconnected things you connect. Like you said, potato and school admission.
Oh,
Meeta and school admission. What is it got? I mean, there is a...
So now if she gets the admission by chance, now that is getting entrenched, no? That thinking.
That's it, yeah.
That's the thing. But you can't say anything to them. We can't say.
No,
we can't. No, in the sense they might be close friends. Yes. I mean, actually they are. But I can't explain in this.
But why do you want to explain? But it's her life.
It's
her life.
Yeah.
We don't know what. Maybe she is too fond of potatoes and she wants to give it up.
No, she
but
does something
know.
Like
maybe
it.
She can't survive without potatoes and that's a big sacrifice for her.
It is.
For
it
her.
Is.
See, like I said, this is the kind of meaning that they have, like we discussed.
Mm.
Then it's fine. The sense that we need some understanding that till there is achieved, I'm going to give this up. Because I like the sweets the most. You know, so that makes me become a little more determined. It's like a knot. Then it's different. But many people don't do like that. Oh, he said, I gave it up, it helped, so I also give it up.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, what happens is, that the thing is not achieved.
Hmm?
Like, her friend is doing it for whatever reason. But suppose after a year the aim is not achieved for giving up A, B, C, D, E, F, then what happens?
Then also they won't learn. They'll say, you did this, but you know, you didn't do this getting up for the yeast every day.
Matlab,
some other class will be there, which you did not follow,
I am shocked is night before last, a third one said, who I have never heard say such a thing. She said, वो तो करती है, तू भी करती है ना? I said, no, Nina, I don't do all this because I'm very more practical. Cause and effect, सोच लो, that might be my. So she said, no, but they all do, and I want my son to get the admission, so I've given up Meeta. And I was surprised that somebody who's never done it is seeing two other people at the table, and she's saying that it just you see each other, and then it spreads like you were just.
Yeah,
saying.
Also when you're vulnerable, when you're weak, when you think, you do all these kind of things.
Yeah.
Because you just want whatever I can do, if I can get the benefit, why not? You know, that sort of a weakness you get into. This is the problem. All these people who get into all these things, they are vulnerable state. You know? You fall for it. You're weak, your willpower is very weak. Somebody is affected, then you'll do anything. You'll be ready to do anything. That's the problem. So you will say, what's the big deal? Is potato more important or my son's admission more important? Okay, give it up. No? But then, where is it going to get his admission? There is absolutely no connection between the two.
It could also be due to peer pressure. Maybe those two said, one first friend said, I've given up for this, so she also must have got influenced.
The one scientist, I don't remember whether it was Edison or Newton or Einstein, one of them I believe said, do you believe in superstitions? He said, no, but I'm told it works.
But I'm?
Told it works.
We know.
he said, no, but I'm told it works. You know, that's kind of a fear.
Yeah.
Why am I going to lose by doing three times? Let me do it.
No, but even like silly traditions, something like what I mean is which is not relevant, and there's so many people like with whom I've discussed, they do it, they say, I don't believe in it, but you know, chala raha hai, so why should I stop it if something happens? So that's fear, as you said. They don't believe in it, they know it's like defunct or whatever,
but they just do it
because they just feel that agar nahi kiya aur kuch ho gaya. So in fact they believe in it.
That's what I'm saying.
So
see,
that's
for example,
is that a weakness?
See,
of
for example, through knowledge, when the knowledge keeps going inside, there are two ways in which we need to develop ourselves. One is absolute permanent method, which is knowledge. Other is to practice. See, you don't have compassion at the moment, like Buddha. Buddha is compassion personified. You understand? Mahavira is compassion personified. It is their original nature. They are not trying to be compassionate. They are compassionate. Are you with me? But we are going through this knowledge, we are studying, we are reflecting. Slowly, slowly, as we begin to understand and go deeper and deeper in the knowledge, the compassion will come. Our nature also will become more of compassion. You will naturally start becoming compassionate. Right? But that will take time. Till such time what they do in our system, in our religious system, they have certain practices. You practice compassion. Right. Just because you practice compassion doesn't mean you will become compassionate. But it's as a practice. You start distributing something, dana. You do. You know? It's not that you become a great giver. But at least you do. That may probably induce you to become a giver.
You feel nice.
Like you said, the fellow put on an act of a sannyasi, then he actually becomes a sannyasi.
Yeah.
In that sense.
Yeah.
Similarly, in relationships, you understand, when you have true love to that extent, you naturally give up.
Yeah.
You understand? But also, as a practice, it gives this, that for the sake of husband, you fast. For the sake of wife, you fast. For the sake of, you know, when I say like this, in most of the classes they ask, sir, can you please name something where for the sake of wife, the husband is supposed to fast or something like that? So I don't know, maybe there, maybe not there. I'm not getting into that kind of an argument now. But the point that you need to understand is, why? To practice. As a practice, just as a practice. Are you with me? And that practice may become your habit over a period of time. And then from that, it may become your natural thing, especially when you are practicing knowledge along with it on a daily basis. So with these two, if you keep doing, that's why they kept all this.
So it's a step in
the right. So once a week I don't do this, once a week I don't do that, meaning something you give up for the sake of Bhagavan, for the sake of world around you, people around you, family, you know. So that's why they say you start doing these things. In that sense, they were meaningful. But merely, I've given up 1 week, that's okay, fine. Otherwise, then it becomes the kind. Then you begin to lose it. Anything is like that. You know? So that's the whole thing. Why did they do this in relationships? Killing them. There will come a time where you will, if you follow things properly, where you wait for everybody to take their meal, and then if the meal is there, you eat, otherwise you fast. You understand? But that bhav will automatically be in you. If you understand. But here it's not like 1 week I take, oh that's it. Now it's your turn, you do it. I'm not doing it. So that's sort of a fighting you get into, then what's the meaning? So why we have these kind of things? Probably for these kind of reasons. And it may help you. Like, you know, during Shraddha, here also they distribute. They distribute food. Right? And they give up certain things. interesting. But why is it incorporated in our religious system? For this purpose. So that it becomes your natural fragrance. Compassion becomes your natural fragrance. But if you do it mechanically, this year, these 3 days in a year, I do. Other days, I do all sorts of things. See, I know in Tamil Nadu, many people, they don't eat, they naturally, they belong to a family where they eat non-veg. But during a particular month, they will not eat.
The Punjabis
don't have drinks and
non-veg.
So what they do, some of them I know, one day before the month starts, any all non-vegetarian dish that they will eat, they have eaten that day.
Moti Mahal is full of the Punjabis the day before the Navratri.
The day before the Navratri.
Because I get an invite. My husband is a modernite, so his group is Punjabi basically. I get an invite. We are going to Moti Mahal. Drinks at so-and-so's house, you drink yourself silly and then you go and eat yourself silly. Obviously Sanjay, this, whatever, we don't go, but that's the thing, that it's done.
Yeah.
So you are going to stuff yourself with butter chicken, chicken tikka, lamb kebab, this, that, because for, and then it's so funny when we want to meet that group of friends in that week, they say, nahi, drink to le nahi sakte, kya milenge. So they, true, these things happen to a very high extent. We can meet, I can meet too. We don't have to have a drink to have a good evening or a dinner or anything. So, no. So over the years, one has learned, they will not meet at this time. Rita, Moti Mahal is full.
This is true, you know.
It's true.
So, and also, when the month ends, next month when it begins, first day, again.
But Guruji, if what she thinks that die hard non-veg and all, it's good at least 9 days they live through.
Without it, it still gets to live. But eating is quite important.
Ek din mein khaake kitna hai, 9 din ke barabar to nahi khate plus.
To par wo samajh nahi hai na. Rita has friends, if there's a dinner being planned, they will say, "Acha Thursday ko mat rakhna, Thursday ko mera fast hai." And I'm thinking, but I'm coming to meet you, I'm veg every day. I don't say I'm veg that day, so don't plan. Because fasting mein na, they eat veg. It's a very good thing they do it every Thursday. But why can't you meet me? Please eat veg and meet me. Don't give me this thing that I will meet you when I can eat. So are you meeting me or eat?
Meeting for eating.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a bit upsetting actually.
So
that's right.
Tamasic is when there's no light of knowledge. Even the trace of bhakti which you would probably see in rajasic person is not there here. Yeah. And that's what he's saying, that absolutely foolish. Right. And in Swamiji's explanation he's given, he's used the word superstitious beliefs. And they torture themselves. Self-torture. And you are saying at least for that 1 week they are giving rest to the system, but 1 week se pehle, ज़्यादा ख़राब कर दिया।
हाँ।
उन्हें होने के बाद और ज़्यादा ख़राब कर देंगे, क्योंकि तब 1 week they are mentally only thinking about it.
And when Navratri is over, that day on the 9th day they do go back to Moti Mahal or some such place. They do go. So दो बार तो हो ही जाता है।
So that's what I'm saying. You know. So anyway, see, these practices slowly, when you start doing mechanically, starts losing its significance. That is the biggest problem. In individual also, in the collective also, people start losing the significance and they keep doing it mechanically. Why are you doing it? I don't want that. It's been followed, so we are following it. What if in case something happens? You see?
The fear.
It's absolutely fear. What if in case this happens? What if in case that happens? Prajnas, I do this during Navratra, I continue. What if this happened? For that reason, they don't think. And next thing he says is, for destructive purpose. to destroy the others, with the thought of destructing others, destroying others.
Yeah.
I want to do certain tapas and become powerful so that I could destroy them. You know? See, please understand, tamasic person wants the power to destroy others. Rajasic person wants power to grab and enjoy more and more for himself. And sattvic person wants the power, utilize it for the purpose of growth. What do you want to do with the conserved energy? What is tapas? We discussed, right? Two aspects of tapas. One aspect of tapas is conservation of energy that is getting dissipated in the lower channels. Other aspect of tapas is directing the conserved energy towards the higher. You understand? These two put together is tapas. Conservation of energy that is getting dissipated in the lower channels, directing the conserved energy towards the higher. So what purpose ke liye I am conserving the energy? I am told to go through this 7 days and conserve the energy by eating light food. By eating light food I give rest to the system, I conserve energy, I develop, you know, all these things. For what purpose? We have no idea. From the second, foolish notion. Oh, I'm told if I do this, then Bhagavan will take pity and maybe one more belief will come to my bank account. Something like that. Or with that power, I could destroy somebody. Now once I get my little more energy, then I can finish them off. Or the other thing is, if I do this and I get some power, I could use that energy to get little more worldly stuff to myself. If I could restrain myself from spending here and there, I save, that means what, I could buy myself something else. But not necessarily it is something that is useful for your good, no. And then the other person does all these things for what reason? To use it for the higher.
Well, that's why all those Vashikaran mantras and all that thing, which is a part of the tantric ritual. People do that jap and all only so that they can have the other person.
Even Ravan.
For gain and control.
Even Ravan, he amassed all the this thing to.
Ravan was a very typical Rajasic person.
Not tamasic.
He had a lot of tamasic tendencies also. See, all of us have some or other tamas. Ravan also had.
Yeah.
But majority Rajas and tamas.
But then in this Rajasic state, he was also very learned because that's how he wrote the...
He also had sattva.
Yeah, that's why he
not
wrote...
Not that nobody has sattva. Ravan was a...
That's how he wrote the Shiv Tandav.
Yeah, but then he did all that to get the wrong
way. Yeah, the wrong way. That becomes, yeah. Though at the end they said that he knew he was going to die, so he did all that so that he could be killed by Ravan.
That's the continuity.
That's, yeah, I think that's what they say.
That's a story, yes, there is a story, yes. So anyway, come back to the verse. So the austerity practiced with foolish notion, torturing oneself or aiming to destroy another is declared tamasic. See, one way of coming up is by pushing the other fellow down. You're not doing anything to grow. You just push the other fellow down. Keep on destroying so I can be happy. You know? This is what we do when we talk ill about others. By putting them down, we feel happy. It's a very tamasic quality. Next, verse number 20. Dātavyamiti yad dhānahum Dīyate nupakārine
Deshe kāle ca pātre ca
Tad dānam sātvikam smṛtam Dātavyamiti yad dhānahum Dīyate nupakārine
Deshe kāle ca pātre ca Tad dānam sātvikam smṛtam.
Now verse number 20 is giving gift, sattvic gift. Then verse number 21, Rajasic gift, 22, Tamasic gift. Dana, Yajna, Dana, Tapa. Yajna, Tapa is finished, now he is talking about Dana. Dātavya miti yaddānam dīyate upakārine. Gift given as an obligatory, that which ought to be given. Doing it because it is to be done to a recipient, to somebody who does no service. Who does no service means it's not that they have done something to you, therefore you are giving back. You have to do it, whether you attained anything from them or not, directly. This is to be done, therefore you do. You know, oh, he did that, therefore I have to do. It's not like that. Gift given as obligatory to a recipient who does no service. There is no expectation of anything in return, or nor is it paying back to what you received. You clearly understand that you are constantly receiving from the society and you have to give back to the society. You know, that bhav you have, gift given as an obligatory. It's not driven by impulse, feeling per se. It's not impulsive gift. A lot of people do impulsive gift, you know. In fact, the book Vedanta Treatise, Swamiji says, the gift given should benefit both the donee and the donor. It should make you grow, not make the person who receives become more and more dependent. So gift given as obligatory to a recipient who does no service, and it is given in the right place and right time. What is the use in belated greetings? The greeting has value only when it is done in the now, the right time, right place. Desha kala. So in short, what he is saying is charity ought not to be judged based on only the intention that supports the charity, but also the benefit accrues on the donor and the donee. There is a lot of intellectual exercise in dana. It's not to be done mechanically. It should be done in the right place, right person, and right time, when it is needed, not late on. I don't need it, so I'm giving it away. I only give when I don't need it. So that is what he is saying. Gift given as obligatory to the recipient who does no service and place and time, that gift is considered sattvic. See, throughout the world, now they are worried about who all have become nuclear state or who are trying to become nuclear state. And they say, no, you have to come under this treaty, that treaty. Why? Because we don't know who is controlling that country. We don't want those kind of technology to go into the wrong hands, isn't it? Because if they just press one button,
and finished.
Everything will be finished. Just one button which should be pressed. And if a fellow who is extremely, fidgety, and you give him the gadget, he may press it any time, we don't know. Swami Vivekananda, when he was invited to go abroad and speak, give lecture, and they invited him, he went to Ma Sharada. He said, Amma, I need your permission. They are inviting me to come and talk. Do I have your permission? I need your permission and blessing. She says, we'll talk about it later. Just give me the knife. I'm busy cutting now. He goes to the kitchen and brings the knife. And when he gives the knife, he holds the sharp side and gives the wooden side to her. Then she receives it like that, then she says, you are now ready to go and give lecture. Because you now see from the other person's point of view. So now you are qualified to go. Now, to whom do you give? Is he ready to receive? Simply you give, because you are in your emotion. You give. See, there is a story in Purana. There is an asura called Bhasmasura. A fellow goes and does the tapas, and Shiva is impressed with this tapas. And when he appears in front of him, ask whatever you want. He says, I want this power there. Whosoever's head I touch, they should be reduced to ash. Then Shiva says, okay, given. And then he gets a doubt whether this will really work. So he says, let me try if it works or not on Shiva's head only. And then Shiva knows it will work. So he has to save himself when he is running. And then Lord Narayana comes in the form of Mohini. Comes in the form of Mohini. And that Mohini enchants this asura. Seeing her beauty, he falls for her. And then in the delusion, he starts doing whatever she does. He doesn't know what he's doing. And she does turn the right hand like this, he will turn the right hand like this. Turn the left hand like this, he will turn the left hand. Then like that, he kept on doing whatever she did. And she kept her hand on herself, her head. He keeps his hand on himself and he is reduced to ash. You know, there's a story in Purana. In short, Shiva gave the boon and he is troubled. You have to be careful as to whom you are giving the boon. It is a gift. Dātavya vidiyatā. He says. That obligate. So even in giving, there is an intellectual exercise. Not do it emotionally. A lot of people do it just simply because they have an emotion. And all these people who take it, they are using it for drugs and all sorts of things. No? You have no idea why they are using all these things. Oh, you are just so mechanically giving. Oh, uchata. You know? In a way, you are pleasing yourself with that emotion. It's a big pity. It's not out of compassion. In fact, if you have compassion, your giving will start from your every action and every receiving. You will not take more than what is necessary. By taking what is more than necessary, you deny the others. And having denied, now you won't do some charity. Why don't you live in such a way that there is no necessity to take more than what is necessary? You will grab, you will deny, and then you will do charity. What rubbish is this? It's like your company is polluting the river. And then from the money you get, you are doing CSR. What rubbish. You will pollute the environment beyond the norms, declared norms. You don't adhere to that. So that you could, you know, increase your productivity, you could make more money and whatever, the profit. And then you do charity. And that also because the government has forced you to do. If supposing that is how you do, then what kind of charity is that? I'm not saying everybody is doing like that, but you know, it's ridiculous. So he says, gift that is given as an obligation. To be able to breathe in, I need to breathe out. When I breathe out, then I can breathe in. So hold on to the breath, how can I breathe in? So therefore, it's a cycle, you know. I contribute, get something out of that contribution, that also I reinvest, continue contributing. That living itself is giving. The very foundation of such a living is giving. So, if you really understand this concept, it's not just going and giving something as a gift. The living itself is converted to the spirit. That's why Victor Hugo's play, he says, life is to give, not to take. Whole life is to give, not to take. And in place and in time. In place and time means well thought about. Not mechanical, neither mechanical gifts nor emotional. The feeling supporting is good, but it should be expressed after you think. That's the whole idea. And then some people ask, how do we know what do we use and all that? To some extent you do the exercise. Who am I to judge that whether they were using it for drugs or not? Who am I? Not like that. They are not saying you sit down and judge everybody. But some basic assessment, when you know the fact that this is how it's being abused, then why should you encourage them?
So many times I've offered somebody at the car window, now so I don't even open because they grab your stuff. But if you, I always carry some fruits, if you offer a banana, they say no. I have been refused and I felt so stupid. They say no, they don't want the food. One, two, three times I did it, then I stopped. One person even told me, kela to hum roz khate hain. And it was ostensibly a beggar. And obviously somebody really saying, khana kha lenge, ye ke, that I got that weak emotion.
नहीं वो उनको पैसे चाहिए पैसे नहीं चाहिए या हंगरी दे दो आई थिंक बिस्किट का समथिंग समथिंग द कार और सम फ्रूट्स कम
हाँ
एक्सेस हो जाता तो आई दे डोंट वांट दैट तो नहीं दे देते वाह पैसा तो पैसा
यू बी रिफ्यूज ना
बिकॉज वो दैट्स अ रैकेट ना दे नीड टू गिव आई थिंक
समटाइम्स यू डोंट बिलीव यू आर इमोशनली वीक और समथिंग यू थिंक मे बी दिस वन इज हंगरी बट दे वांट द फूड शुड
यू कम give the money
and
they are not interested in that anymore.
That's what they say, it's a very big racket. They are bound, they are like slaves, you know. They have to be, otherwise they are beaten up and all that. And in some cases, the parents have sent the children to get and made the children to get the money to them. They have to give every day some money, which the parents are using for drugs. And even the children are using all these kind of drugs.
I think they make the children druggies. I think
yeah,
so.
Because they all are drugged on that gum. The inhalation of gum, it's so addictive.
So we'll see the other few verses next week.
नारायणायेति समर्पयामि
नारायणायेति समर्पयामि हरि ओम्।